Culture.
Book Review. The Last Founding Father. Martin Luther King Jr. remains one of the greatest and most misunderstood figures in American history. King, A Life, by Jonathan Eig.
6 months after Florida's Board of Education banned critical race theory, or CRT, in essence the study of structural racism, from its classrooms, Ron DeSantis, the governor, introduced legislation further restricting what his state's teachers could say about race. He invoked an unlikely ally. "You think about what MLK stood for," he told a crowd last year. He didn't want people judged on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, invoked King too. CRT, he said, goes against everything Martin Luther King Jr. taught us, not to judge others by the color of their skin. The phrase, content of their character, which King used in his I Have a Dream speech, delivered at the March on Washington of 1963, has become one of his best known. Out of context, it seems to advocate color blindness towards individuals above all else, even to suggest that policies which take account of racial inequities are themselves unfairly biased. That is a misunderstanding of King's views, and it is far from the only one in wide circulation. The reverence with which Americans of all political stripes view him today obscures how deeply divisive he was in his time. King was a thorny, prophetic, demanding thinker. He struggled to balance his optimistic patriotism against self-doubt, and later in life, against his creeping pessimism about America's ability to overcome its demons. Jonathan Eig's magnificent new biography is an overdue attempt to grapple with King in all his complexity. His book will inevitably draw comparisons with America in the King Years, a three-volume history by Taylor Branch. But that trilogy was sprawling and expansive, almost 3,000 pages long, and as much about America between 1954 and 1968 as about King. Mr. Eig's is a more traditional biography, and the book benefits from its narrower focus. It gives the reader more insight into the multifaceted man himself. For though King was a great man, he was not a saint. He plagiarized, philandered, was unkind and sometimes cruel to his wife, and seems to have suffered from what is now recognized as depression. He was also funny, fond of good food, and politically shrewd. A doting father, he had a gift for friendship and extraordinary reserves of patience and discipline. Mr. Eig makes his courage and moral vision seem all the more exceptional for having come from a man with ordinary flaws. King was the product of a middle-class upbringing and of a family ensconced in Atlanta's black bourgeoisie. His father, affectionately known as Daddy King, was strong-willed and stern. He preached at Ebenezer Baptist Church, making it one of the city's more prominent black churches. King attended Morehouse College, then, as now, one of America's best historically black universities, before moving on to seminary in Pennsylvania and graduate school in theology at Boston University. Now remembered for his oratory, as a young seminarian, Mr. Eig notes, he earned A's in his philosophy classes and C's in public speaking. Mr. Eig speculates that some of his northern white professors were not enthralled with the black Baptist style. The high marks in philosophy, however, are unsurprising. King was a student of ideas for his entire life. Written in 1963, his Letter from Birmingham Jail is renowned for its moral force and lucid prose. It also bristles with allusions to the Old and New Testaments, but also Thomas Aquinas, Reinhold Niebuhr, Martin Buber, and others. It did not mention Mohandas Gandhi, whose philosophy of nonviolent resistance was perhaps the single greatest influence on King's life and work.